call to order this Technical Activities Committee meeting for AMAX. Now that ODOT's represented, we're waiting for you, Jeff. Determination of a quorum. We definitely have a quorum here today. Have everyone had a chance to review the minutes from the September 23rd meeting? So do we have a motion? Motion. Thank you.
Second.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Staff reports. Looks like we're going to turn all these over to you, Jason.
Okay. Try to get through them as quickly as possible. First staff report is the financial progress report, and that was included as attachment 3A in the folders, and basically summarizes our budget by work item. And as we are in our fourth month into the fiscal year, at least as of when this report was completed, October 31st, we've spent 30% of the budget year to date, so we're doing well, we're in the black, and we're within the budget, and I would ask for a motion to approve the report.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Technical.
Okay, thanks. Next item, a couple things to go through with you on the technical progress. Some of these are on the agenda, so I'll skip over them. The one is the staff have been working on a bike users map, which is our attempt to kind of quantify in a fairly subjective manner how bikeable various roads throughout the area are, and this is going to roll into a larger bike and pedestrian plan we'll be doing next year. But I believe most of your communities have been contacted by the staff for input on that. So if you do have any input, please get a hold of either Phyllis Jividen or Jennifer Rose of our staff. And I know they'd appreciate your local input on that. Another thing I wanted to report on is we mentioned a couple of meetings ago that we have a brand new website. As it's gotten up and running, we've been making some improvements to it. One, I think that a lot of you would be interested in is we're going to make the traffic counting data a little bit more prominent on there so it's easy to find. And another thing we did is we basically linked the traffic count data into Google Maps, where now you can actually pan and zoom on the traffic count map, and there'll be a little dot for each location that you can directly click on. And I think the old map was a little bit clunky, and I think you'll find this one a little bit easier to use. And we're also now, where we've done bin counts, we're breaking out the truck volume from the passenger car volume if we have that. So I think as time goes on, we'll populate it with a little bit more detail. But if you have further suggestions for it, we'd be glad to see it. But check it out. I think you'll find it a little bit easier to use. Another thing I wanted to mention is at the last meeting we approved, the policy committee approved, and this committee had a chance to weigh in on it, a memorandum of understanding for AMAX to enter into a cooperative grant application for a Department of Housing and Urban Development, USDOT joint, what they call Sustainable Communities Program grant. We entered into that cooperatively with the Cleveland area, with Youngstown and Canton, and our region was actually, I think, one of 50 out of couple hundred or so applicants to receive a grant. We got $4.25 million for planning. So that's not going to come to AMATS, but what will happen is there'll be kind of a regional consortium that'll work on a sustainability plan for all of Northeast Ohio. And as that moves forward, that'll come back to our committees to be reviewed and discussed. But it was a pretty big coup for the region to get that award. Probably the other real big thing that happened since our last meeting is we had an election. Everybody by now is familiar with all the results, probably a lot of political junkies in here. But the notable things for transportation is the former, well, soon to be former head of the Committee on Transportation and Infrastructure, Jim Oberstar, who's a representative from Minnesota. He actually lost his seat. So starting next year, there'll be a new committee chair, John Micah from Florida, who will be working on the reauthorization of the transportation bill. Nobody thinks that's going to go anywhere anytime soon. We passed our gas tax resolution at the policy committee. For those of you that weren't aware, by a 15 to 12 vote, so that was a pretty close vote. That went to our congressional reps. But the long and short of what I've read about what's going on in Washington is there seems to be some support for the idea of a gas tax if it's portrayed more as like a tax on oil or something to reduce the deficit. So I think people are warming up to the idea, but it's all a matter of how they kind of sell it or portray it. So it still sounds like there's a 50-50 chance they would do something, but from everything I've read, they're not going to do a new bill until they figure out how to pay for it. So we'll probably be on continuing resolutions throughout 2011 for transportation. And then with Ohio's election, with Governor-elect Kasich, if you hadn't heard, he announced a couple days ago appointing Jerry Ray as the new director of ODOT, and a lot of you might remember Jerry from his tenure as ODOT director under the Voinovich administration in the 90s. I think the big issues that the state government is dealing with, one's the $8 billion state deficit. That'll probably have a lot of effects, maybe not necessarily in transportation, but I think on local communities, because they've talked a lot about the local government fund and cutting that, which a lot of you are a lot more aware of than I am. A couple of the policy things that Jerry Ray and Governor-elect Kasich did talk about is trying to continue more of a fix-it-first philosophy for ODOT because of the tight budgets and the economy right now. It's not real clear to me exactly what influence that might have on track, you know, another major new program. It's probably too early to tell on that. But other than that, that was kind of what's going on since our last meeting. And if you have any questions or comments, I'd be glad to entertain any of those now.
Seeing no questions, go ahead and move on.
Okay, and then the final report is a status of our sub-allocated federal funds, and that was attachment 3C in the mail out, and there's a cover memo and our typical funding table that we prepare for these meetings included in there. Victor had a conflict today, couldn't be here, so I'll try my best to fill in for him. We have gotten the 15% increase for the AMATS-funded projects that were eligible for it. Another item I think most of you are already aware of, but the lockdown is coming up. There's been project review meetings scheduled for December 17th to verify all the award dates for the AMATS-funded projects. And then another TIP-related note is we have begun the process of working with ODOT and all of you to develop a brand new TIP. It's actually been almost 4 years since we've had officially a new TIP, so this one's going to cover fiscal 2012 through 2015. And the only other thing to point out is on the program balances sheet, if you look at the funding balances at the bottom, we have a pretty healthy balance here in fiscal 2011, around $6.5 million. We go negative for a couple years. And then out in 2015, which is still a ways off and we can add more projects, we've got a pretty high balance. So I just wanted to point those out as one of the agenda items later is to talk about local share requirements and our funding policy kind of in general. But a lot of this is lower bids for projects, but we're continuing to run pretty decent balances that I think it would be in our best interest to try to reduce. So any ideas that any of you have even on increasing the flexibility of the program, being able to move projects up, which a lot of times is easier said than done, we'd definitely be open to any of those suggestions. So with that was all I had to report on item 3C, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Again, seeing no questions, we can move on to old business. Curtis, discussion on Rock Rock Road and the Montrose Planning Study.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go to sleep on this.
Oh, wait, here we go. No matter. I think, remember, from our last TAC meeting, we had a discussion about the Rock Rock Road Montrose Planning Study. AMATS did a report that was presented to the Policy Committee on September 23rd. This was looking at an analysis of new development in Copley Township, where the Walmart that was originally located in Farallon is looking to move to Copley Township, roughly about a mile away. We brought that to the attention of the Policy Committee and discussed some of our concerns with the transportation impacts, potential transportation impacts in the area. Our study recommended roughly $7 million worth of improvements, which we felt were most likely probably imminent if the development was to take place. Since that time, the Policy Committee, after we presented the report, decided that they wanted to again discuss the issue at the upcoming December meeting, which is December 8th on Wednesday. Since that time, two other interesting developments have taken place. The first being that the city of Farallon has started to move forward with the idea of cul-de-sacking Rothrock Road, as well as another residential road in the area, kind of to protect what they think is their neighborhoods and their residents from a potential onslaught of new traffic. And then also, they citizens in the area have gotten organized. It's called Citizens for a Better Montrose, and they've been very active in a lot of public meetings discussing some of their concerns about the project. Also, if you would have seen the paper today, what happened was the city or the company, Walmart, confirmed that they were looking to move and were going to try to pursue moving from the Farallon location to the Copley location. Also, there's been kind of an additional interest in our CIC meeting, which is our public involvement meeting tonight, looking at people coming to that to express some of their concerns about the development. So basically today, we just wanted to give an update to TAC, let you guys know where that was in the process. Amex is kind of looking to the Policy Committee to decide, you know, how we feel like this should be approached from a regional perspective, even though Amex obviously doesn't have really any control in terms of local land use and zoning issues. However, we are concerned with transportation impacts. And on that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Did
you
did a study on that?
Yes. Yeah, we have
actually.
From what I've understood, and I haven't actually looked at it myself, but I think there are some comparable recommendations. I know Dave, who did our major analysis, compared them, thought that there were some things that were very similar. And then, I don't know, Jason, if you remember what his comments were, something like, felt like most of the things that URS identified, we also identified, and I think we might have identified a few more.
Yeah, they were real generally comparable. I think the biggest thing they had in common was just for both analyses, and I think just from a kind of an intuitive basis of what the traffic counts are out there. I mean, we kind of compared Rothrock Road to a pipe, you know, where the pipe has plenty of capacity in the middle of it. It's on both ends of the pipe, you know, at 18 and at Cleveland-Maslin, where there would be choke points on the traffic. And that was where our report identified the most likely areas where there would be significant expenditure required. And another reason we wanted to kind of bring it up with the Policy Committee and with you guys was just Rothrock Road isn't on the federal aid system, but those intersections would be. And if AMAX was potentially asked in the future to fund improvements there, we wanted to, you know, bring that to everybody's attention. You know, personally, the staff, I think, doesn't feel that that's a good use of taxpayer dollars to subsidize the construction of those stores.
Since last we met, the county engineer hosted a public open house on Rothrock Road on the 23rd of November. We had somewhat close to 40 speakers, 40 residents get up and make their presentation. At the very beginning of the presentation, Mr. Levy, the developer, suggested a revision that was not in the document. He suggested that the Rothrock Road intersection with Cleveland-Maslin Road be relocated to line up with the off-ramp from I-76 northbound. That, by the way, all the improvements he has suggested, he is also going to pay for. They're not going to come out of public funds. We have to come up with some sort of mechanism for that to happen. That's still going to be in debate. If we do align the off-ramp with Rothrock Road, we're not sure what happens if the mayor of Fairland cul-de-sacs Rothrock Road. Portions of that roadway are entirely in his jurisdiction. He has the full authority to do so. I'm expecting to have a meeting with Max Smith, our consultant, who's looking at the traffic study, on Friday, 3 o'clock, get their input into the situation. Mr. DeFuria from ODOT has reviewed it, has provided us information. We're going to assemble a document and present to... We can only recommend to our township, here are the recommendations we anticipate. Hopefully they will follow them or abide by them to the most extent possible. We are going to ask URS to revise their study, review their study, with the concept that Rothrock Road is cul-de-sac at the south end, just to see what happens to the rest of the traffic. Many of the things that the study has proposed, we concur with. Right turn lanes into development, a traffic signal coming out of development, a improvement, quite possibly a roundabout at the intersection of Rothrock Road, Springside Drive, and Brookwall. Right now it's a four-way stop with four lanes on each approach, which doesn't function very well under any type of large flows. The ODOT portions, the SR-18, and the I-77 areas, one may require an interchange modification study, the other may require an ODOT permit. Some of the assumptions made out there were not entirely correct, according to Mr. DeFuria, and we're going to put that information back into the hands of the developer. As with any type of plan you have ever seen developed, you submit it for review, you get comments back, you make the changes, you resubmit it. We're in that process right now. It is still dynamic. Like I said, Mr. Levy made the recommendation to align the off-ramp with Rothrock Road. To me, that's a good situation if we keep Rothrock Road as a through street. If it becomes a cul-de-sac street, then I'm not sure what we're doing out there. We haven't made any determinations. Stay tuned for further updates.
Thank you, Joe. Any other questions for Curtis or Joe? Okay. Seeing none, let's go ahead and move on. This looks like my item here. This is a pleasurable item for me, delegating these. And I know I had an enjoyable lunch with Dave Gasper and Joe Padley and Chris Papp, and we decided who to nominate. The nominating committee would like to nominate Tom Sheridan for Hudson from Hudson to be chairman next year, and Brian Smith from Carta to be vice chair next year. We have a second.
Thanks.
Thank you. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Same.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you all. Okay, new business. Approval of the 2011 meeting calendar.
Okay, congratulations, Tom. This will be your meeting calendar next year. This one's pretty straightforward. We just put out a draft meeting calendar, and as long as it looks acceptable to everybody, the staff would just be looking for a motion to recommend its approval to the policy committee.
Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. More new business. Jason, 20% local share required.
Okay, thanks, Jim. This item kind of came up originally at the behest of the policy committee chairman, Mayor Bolas from New Franklin. At the last policy committee meeting under other business, he kind of initiated a discussion with the policy committee about examining the possibility of relaxing the 20% local share requirement for AMATS projects. And the committee as a whole made a motion to request the staff provide some additional information so that the issue could be discussed a little bit more comprehensively at the December meeting. So that's what brought this memo about. When I say relaxing the 20% requirement, I should probably clarify two things. As probably almost all of you know, the 20% requirement of having a match is a federal requirement. So no matter what happens on an AMATS project, only 80% of the project cost can come from the federal government. So that's that part of it's non-negotiable. However, there are a lot of other MPOs in Ohio and throughout the country that their requirement is less stringent. Our requirement's always been the 20% has to come from your local government. The way a lot of other MPOs operate, and this is within the federal regulations, is they will allow you to use other non-federal sources of funding toward your match. So if you got Ohio Public Works Commission funds, ODOT safety funds that came not from the federal HSP but from state funding, urban paving program, or other things that are state funds, they will allow you to use that toward the 20%. And what the memo tries to do is kind of outline the pros and cons of some of that, and then what we wanted to do is open it up for discussion to all of you, because a lot of you are a lot closer to this than the staff as far as the mechanics of actually managing projects, coming up with the local money, et cetera. So we definitely wanted to get your point of view on it. I think the pros of it is, with the economy getting worse, communities are having more and more trouble paying for local services. If you are using general funds, and Jim and I were having a discussion before, some communities have their capital budget kind of firewalled off from the rest of the budget as much. But assuming that your local funds are pretty interchangeable, if we relax the 20% requirement, you're able to come up with other sources of funding. Obviously, that allows you to use the local money you were going to spend on the project for something else in your community. So that would be a plus. You know, there might be situations, we've always gotten plenty of project applications, way more than the amount of money we have available. You know, there might be communities where they, if they were able to leverage other sources, they might apply for a project that they couldn't otherwise afford. Because especially if you get a more expensive project, the 20% gets to be a more cost prohibitive number. As far as the downside, playing the devil's advocate, I think the more that we allow other sources of funding to be put into a project, it will inherently make it more complicated. That's not a problem for the staff that it's more complicated, but from the overall program standpoint, it does increase the odds slightly. Something could go wrong with the funding, the project. I don't think projects are really any more likely to be canceled. They could be canceled now, but they may be delayed more. But, you know, part of the reality is a lot of projects use multiple funding sources now anyway, and so they're subject to those same kinds of concerns. So, and then finally, I alluded to before, you could look at it from the perspective of if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We've always gotten plenty of applications. But I think on the balance, talking to the chairman, talking to some other policy committee members, the staff, you know, we're recommending, subject to your approval or in any comments we get here, we'll pass along to the policy committee. We don't really have a problem with making it more flexible in changing the local match requirement. What we were recommending to the policy committee, though, is if they decide to adopt the change that would allow non-local funds to be used, you know, the staff would still like to see sponsors have to pass legislation that would say they're good for the money if those state or other sources of funding don't materialize. And I think in working with ODOT and managing these projects, we would probably also kind of flag the projects that we're going to use non-local funds and almost put them in a category with when, as we develop our program, give them a little bit more scrutiny and program them in a way that if something got delayed with them, other projects could move in to fill the gap. I'm not completely sure how that would work yet, but that's kind of our general recommendation. And then where this would go is depending on what the policy committee decides. If they want to pursue this, then we would work on writing changes to the funding policy and present those changes back to you guys and to them at our January meeting. So for today, this is for discussion, and I'll turn it over as is appropriate to the chairman.
comments?
I'll make one. I don't have any problem with using other resources for leverage use projects. I just go back a number of years where it's very difficult to align all the time with an OPWC contract and the rules with those type of where you can't start certain portions of the project even and get it lined up with AMATS funding, items like that. I mean, I'm all for leveraging the money. I just think that it was very difficult for communities to deliver the projects and lining up the different sources of funds to meet the deadlines. And actually, I think it even came more evident when ODOT, they've relaxed a lot of their performance measures, I think. And they set the performance measures where it almost became impossible to line up. So if you think it can be done, I would be supportive of it, but I think it was very difficult to get the approvals of the Public Works Commission and the contracts, items like that, or other non-federal sources to line up and deliver the project in a timely manner. So I think you better be prepared for a lot of carryover projects.
Any other comments, concerns?
Chuck. Having been on the other side of that same coin Wayne just described when I was at ODOT, yes, it is a very much of a challenge. We are dealing with, at the county level, three different fiscal years. Ours starts the 1st of the January, ODOT starts the 1st of July, Fed start the 1st of October. And when you start talking about fiscal time frames, it becomes very difficult to make these things mesh exactly. With that said, there are other entities, even in District 4, that have looser rules, looser regulations, and they seem to accomplish projects to some degree. Why we want to tie our own hands tighter than need be in these economic times, I don't understand that. You know, I would encourage as much flexibility and much ability, as much as possible to allow the mixed use of funds to put together better projects. I got a nightmare of a project right now. I'm just finishing up in the city of Akron on Hazel Street. That we've gone to the limits of what we can afford to pay, and we're being asked to extend the project because the road, the next 100 feet is bad, the next 100 feet the other direction is bad. We got another driveway. It just doesn't stop. So and I would say, you know, let's do away with our bonds.
I think I said I have no objection to leveraging as much money.
And I think the
issue is that a lot of times lining it up,
it's going to be tough.
It's going to be very difficult. And AMATS actually is, until performance standards came in, was a little bit easier to match it up because, again, the other ones have a little stricter rule, so to speak. So I agree with leveraging it. I just think it's also an issue of being prepared to wait sometimes for those years to come. And you won't see that happen potentially in that given year or hit the time, you know, the timetable that you set. I mean, hopefully a lot of people will bring their projects in just where they want. But it's difficult waiting for that agreement from another entity that may be 3 months out.
Especially if you're trying to hit a particular window of construction opportunity.
Well, you know, construction isn't moving real quick right now. And it's December 2nd, right?
Speaking from someone who had to line up 7 funding sources to do a project that took, I think it was on this capital, that was on AMATS's program since 1997 or prior, Crane Avenue, it finally got under construction in 2009. I'm not saying all the delays was related to that, but there were times where, you know, trying to line up OPWC safety funds, Portage County funds, city funds, somebody always had to give, and it took quite a bit to manage that. Yeah, do you have any thoughts? You, in ODOT's experience of dealing with other MPOs that have more flexibility, like Eastgate, do you have any?
Where it's been done, it's worked pretty well. And it's, you know, there's OPWC is the obvious funding source to look at. There's other sources as well. We've done a lot with urban paving funds, and we have a lot of flexibility on our end of that. So, I guess we would probably be in favor of it because it gives some projects that are badly needed that have some challenges from a funding standpoint the ability to get done. So I think from our end, we work where we can to make those projects happen.
Other comments? Questions? Discussion? I think you're getting a general direction.
Yeah, and what we'll do is we'll kind of report back to the policy committee on the general gist of this conversation, and then in turn we'll come back, if they agree to move forward, we'll come back with draft funding policy language to this committee in January.
I mean, if nobody has any other comments against that, then I think that gives you direction. Thank you. Thank you all. Now we can move on to the resolutions. I was going to call for Heather, but Curtis, would you like to?
I'm just going to do them all. They're not down.
It's your show, then,
Curtis. You guys want to approve all of them, right?
Not motion.
Resolution 2010-22 is the Connecting Communities Planning Grant. This was created as part of the Connecting Communities Initiative, allowing two grants of $50,000 to be provided to communities for planning studies. In August, the Policy Committee approved this, as well as a task force to review all of our applications. We had applications accepted them in the beginning of September through October 15th. We got 17 applications, which I think the staff was very pleased about because there were a lot of quality proposals and it showed a lot of need in the area of planning studies. After the task force scored the applications, the top two scoring communities were the Village of Richfield, and the other was the Metro RTA City of Akron proposal, which is a joint proposal between Metro and the city. To summarize on the sheets that you have on this memo, attached first are the scoring, how every community ranked, as well as a description of the project. And then the back page shows a little summary of both. Richfield's Crossroads of Commerce and Community is focusing on the Wheatley Road and Brecksville Road area, the downtown, looking to kind of reinvent some of Richfield's downtown, and also considering some of the gateways into and out of the village. The City of Akron, the downtown study, looks at kind of the neighborhoods around downtown Akron as well as the downtown itself, looking to analyze areas of connectivity along with metro routes, pedestrians, bikes, and to kind of fix some of the fragmented areas of downtown. With this, the staff and the Connecting Communities Planning Grant Task Force is recommending the approval of Resolution 2010-22 to award Connecting Communities Planning Grant funding to the Village of Richfield and Metro RTA and the City of Akron. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Seeing no questions, do we have a motion?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Curtis. Keep going.
All right, Resolution 2010-23 is approving an amendment to the TIP to add projects for Metro and PARTA awarded through the Next Generation and State of Good Repair programs. This is basically a program that ODOT announced awards in October to add into the TIP. Metro is adding nine large buses. And PARTA is going to add funds to existing preventative maintenance project. With that, the staff recommends approval, and I can answer any questions.
Move for approval. Thank you. Second. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Keep going.
All right. On August 2nd, 2010, AMAX posted an announcement that it would be accepting applications for funding under the Federal Transit Administration's Jargon New Freedom programs. Projects awarded funds through Jargon New Freedom must be consistent with the AMAX Area Coordinated Public Transit Human Services Plan. This plan was approved in May of 2008. And the function of the coordinated plan is to improve transportation services for persons with disabilities, older Americans, and individuals with lower incomes. The staff is recommending that the policy committee approve $401,359 in federal funds for the new Freedom Program for PARTA in support of their mobility management project, which is a key recommendation of the Human Services Plan. As well as for the JARC program, the staff is recommending the policy committee approve $280,206 in federal funds for PARTA in support of the mobility management project and $364,000 to Metro RTA to provide reverse commute express bus service from Akron to Stowe. Resolution 2010-24 approves these projects, and the staff recommends approval.
Motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Last one, Curtis.
All right. Resolution 2010-25 approving Amendment 48 to the Transportation Improvement Program to add a Hiram Bike Trail Study and a Canton Road Signal Project. The Hiram Bike Trail Study is from discretionary funds. We added the TIP, and the Canton Road Project is added due to Highway Safety Program funds. The staff recommends approval of Resolution 2010-25.
So moved. Second.
All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you.
Lastly, do we have any other business?
One thing. I wanted to just under other business recognize Jim for serving as TAC chairman this year. He's been a really great help to the staff as far as putting together items on our agenda. He's been a good sounding board for things. And on top of that, he's a hell of a good guy, too. So with that, I just wanted to present this plaque to you. It says the AMATS Policy Committee wants to express its appreciation to Mr. Jim Bowling for his service as chairman of the AMATS Technical Advisory Committee during 2010 in recognition of his dedication to quality transportation planning and his commendable leadership of the TAC. So congratulations.
With that being said, we're adjourned.
Time is yours.